I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Woohoo! What's up, AfterBuzzers? We are back. Another episode of The Outsider. So excited to be joining y'all again. We are covering season one, episode three tonight, since they did a double episode last week. So much good stuff that we have to talk about with y'all. I'm your host, April Wissenhant, joined by my lovely, amazing, beautiful girl, Allison Dean.
Love you, April.
Love you the most. Oh my gosh, an episode that really gave us a lot. We have so much to get into with y'all. You want to make sure to stay tuned because we have our special segment, some great news, and of course our predictions on what's unfolding to be a crazy season. What did you think about the episode?
I loved it, and I also was very sad that it wasn't a double episode again.
Right? It was like, this is too short.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought was going to happen when they gave us the two to start with, and then I knew it was going to be hard because there's just so much going on.
There's so much. It's like multiple different plots, but all the same thing at one time.
It's crazy.
Which is interesting to
me. And also just like the character development that we're getting, right? Yeah. And the new characters.
Right. Ugh. I'm like, so many to keep up with. I read a lot about the show last week and before that even. And I read how, you know, at the beginning, it's like a slow burn. Like, these things happen, and it kind of slowly unfolds. And tonight's episode was actually that for me. Because, like, the show opened up, or one of the first scenes, is with them, like, at this prison. And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? Who is this? So it does kind of, like, slowly burn into a very large bonfire at the end. In some craziness. But still burning, because we still don't even know about that.
We know nothing.
Exactly. I want to start off with, like, honestly, I almost laughed when I just said this, literally just now. I want to start off talking about Detective Jack, who was a big portion of our topic or our conversation last week, because we're wondering, like, why are they showing this of him? Whatever. His kind of beginning in the episode is when he is sent out to the barn where what is allegedly, Terry Maitland's clothes that were left, the ones he changed into at the strip club.
So, Terry Maitland, in quotation marks.
Exactly, Terry Maitland. At the beginning of the episode, they're at the barn kind of like digging through this, and they discover some like weird substance, which we call like goopy weird substance. He goes to the barn by himself, of course, after going to a strip club.
That whole thing was so annoying to me. So
it just doesn't make any sense. And then he goes into this barn by himself
in the dark. Oh my gosh.
And is attacked.
Yeah, that was odd.
Right.
So he saw the hooded guy. Right.
And then he drops it and then comes back up and the hooded guy's gone.
Or was the hooded guy behind him? That's what I couldn't figure out. I was like, is the hooded guy behind him? And is also the hooded guy suddenly invisible and also doing weird stuff to him? That's what I was trying to figure out.
So the hooded guy, he definitely, because I actually rewound it because I was like, did he see him or was it just that little pole? He definitely sees the hooded man.
Oh, yeah.
And then I guess he like teleports behind him.
I think that's what happened.
Because he definitely was attacked from behind.
Yes, he was.
So it seems like even when you're watching, or for me anyway, it seems like he's being like, punctured by something.
That's what I was thinking too. And then when you look at, you know, when they gave us a couple shots of the back of his neck,
right?
And it looked like a weird rash, like, slash beating slash punctury thing.
It looked like circles where skin was missing. And then obviously, like, as we see him throughout the episode, it looks worse and worse and worse. At the very end, it's like bubbly red and whatever. Main number one question throughout the whole episode, why did he not go to the hospital immediately when this happened?
Well, okay. And beyond that, he is a police officer. He is a detective in the police force, right? And he was assigned to go to this location. Where is the report of all this happening? You need to document all of this. So not only did he not go to the – I mean, I don't know. If he went to the hospital, we didn't see it.
That's a great point.
And also, like, none of this was documented. None of this was revealed. Like, hello? I don't know. Something's not adding up.
Right. Maria Ayala in chat says, Jack is a typical Stephen King character. He is not going to end well. Haha.
I know. I was actually saying this out loud. I'm really curious what his character arc is going to look like. So there's a part of me that's really hopeful that we're going to see, just because he is kind of a, he's jackass. Yeah, I mean, he's like, he's a bit of a punk.
Right.
So part of me wonders, because of this now new affliction, if he's going to change at all, if he's going to, or if he's going to morph into some weird monster. I don't know. Also possible. Maybe. Right. So, but that's the curious part. Because I think it'd be so predictable if we see, like, douchebaggy kind of guy turn into something or die or have some, like, I mean, that's kind of predictable. So I'm hoping for something a little bit more exotic.
Right. Well, what's even crazier about, like, him not even, you know, going to the hospital, whatever, to check out something that literally stabbed him in the dark. Obviously, of course, he's there literally for work.
Yeah.
But something that was weird to me is that when he goes to the strip club, I think when he's back, like, the second time, the owner, or who I imagine to be the owner, is
manager,
like, sitting there in the corner, like, staring at him in some way, as if he's connected. So my that's kind of a side thought. But my main thought after all of this is, like, is this – so – is this, like, a new cycle? Did this happen to Terry?
That's what I was also wondering.
And now it's happening to Jack.
Well, because here's the thing. Remember when the daughter said that Terry was cut?
Right.
And we don't know much about what that cut was, what it looked like. I mean, we don't know anything.
They said it was on his hand.
Yeah, they said it was on his, like, wrist or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but regardless, we don't know what it looked like.
Right.
We don't know how much pain he was in from. Like, we just have no context. So is this, like, the way the hooded guy gets to people?
That's, and even when, not to skip ahead a bit, but we know that Jessa Maitland, which is Terry's youngest daughter, is still seeing this man.
Yep.
And we get a lot more information, which we'll talk about. But basically, at this point, she describes seeing this man, and he looks different now. And he's muscly, and he has more muscles here and here than he used to. And she said one other thing that was a little different.
Doesn't look like her dad anymore.
And doesn't look like her dad at all. So guess what? Guess who doesn't look like her dad at all? Guess who is in the, has more muscles? Jack. So it seems like that's where they're going, but I also don't think it's going to be that easy whatsoever.
Well, okay, and here's my other thing about him not going to the hospital or not doing something.
Yeah.
Whatever touched him, hurt him, stabbed, whatever it was, you need to sample the hell out of that stuff, right? You need to get, you know, I don't know. I was like, what kind of detective are you, man?
The only thing I can think is that it automatically starts to, like, take you over.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking that too. But then again, he ended up at the strip club again.
True.
So he's still him on some, like, he's still doing the same behaviors that we were seeing previously.
Before.
Right? So that's where I'm kind of, you still know things about who you are. So. Right.
But then by the end of his kind of category in the episode, he's sitting there, like, I don't know what he's wearing. To me, it looks like a gown, but it's not a gown. And he's just going, saying over and over, whatever you need me to do.
Right.
Whatever you need me to
do. It's so creepy.
As he, like, rocks back and forth. So, I mean, that tells me that, to me, it's like another piece of the puzzle. Like, he's clearly possessed by something at this point. We just don't know what. It's a confusing thing. That's why I say it's a slow burn, because they gave us stuff, but, like, basically just a lot more stuff to be confused by.
So I'd say it's slow burn, but the whole episode, I was fully engaged in, like...
Oh, absolutely.
There was not a moment where I felt bored or felt like, why are they showing this to me or what's going on?
No, definitely.
I was like, what's on?
It's kind of like, I mean, like, you know, it's all building to something.
Oh,
but it's
yeah.
like a lot of information coming from different places. Even with the clothes, obviously, that's why Jack goes to the barn in the first place that they found. It's more information on that. So they talk about how they're testing this. This at this point, this is when Anderson meets with the GBI detective. I will find his name in just a minute. But he meets with them, and they're saying they're testing
Eunice?
This liquid. Yes.
Okay.
They're testing this liquid, and he, you know, first they thought it was semen.
Right.
Not because the boy was, you know, attacked sexually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no semen. Mm-hmm. They're testing it for, basically, he...
Every substance.
He lists all these things,
yeah.
and he's like,
nope.
Not any of those.
Nope.
None of those. None of those. So, obviously, it's something completely unknown to them. But the weirdest part is the belt buckle. And you see clear fingerprints on the horse on the belt buckle. And basically, they say, you know, there are five sets of prints. Terry's, and then I think like
the boy who stole the car,
the owner of the van,
right?
And then that owner, I think his wife and daughter or something like that,
maybe.
Anyway, multiple sets of prints, all of it makes sense, but the ones that don't make sense is that there's a set that is very clear and then a set that's like degraded basically, and he says that it looks basically like a fingerprint of an 80 to 90 year old person, but they do match
to Terry Maitland.
So it's like there's the however old Terry is, let's say 45-year-old fingerprint, and then his exact fingerprint, but as if he was 80 or 90 years old.
So weird.
So like, is it time travel? Is it possession? What is it?
I was with you, April. This is so confusing.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm definitely curious to see more about Jack and what happens to him and how this is connected with that. But
the guy, so the hooded guy, it looks as though he is very old. So yes. He looks he's been very, very kind of not visible to us. Right. There's only been a couple moments where we see it looks like he has some deformity, like in his mouth area.
Right.
And he just looks kind of like darker and sallow and kind of wrinkled, like grayish. It's super unclear. And so I do think there's some strange tie-in between old Terry fingerprints mm-hmm. and this thing being able to possess other people on some level fully, and maybe in the possession because he is super, super ancient.
Right.
Maybe then when he possesses them to their younger selves, it's still degraded for fingerprints. I don't know. It's confusing.
We don't know. I mean, I hope we will know eventually.
Well, because
but
wait
it's
a
very
minute,
confusing.
That also doesn't make sense because there was like fresh Terry Maitland fingerprints against the old Terry. Yeah, that doesn't. Okay,
exactly.
So this is bizarre. I don't know.
On that, so I want to talk about how Terry's daughter is seeing this man still. So Ralph is obviously fully still in this investigation, even though he's on leave. But
how could you not be?
Of course, exactly. Yeah. Because he feels anguished about maybe arresting him the wrong way. And he's watching these videos over and over again of him, of the shootings and stuff like that, even though he says he's fine, but clearly he's not.
Nothing's adding up.
But the Jessa Maitland says, walks into her mom's like, hey, we need to call the man for dad. And obviously we know it's Ralph. But when she describes what this man is, telling to her, she said, he says, you need to stop. He says, I can only tell you this. You need to be scared. And then when she describes how she's seen him, and this is why I say, like, it plays back into the Jack part, she says, it describes very much so exactly what we kind of said his face looked like. Like, at first she said he looked like her dad, but he was very mean.
Right.
And then he looked less like her dad, but he was very mean. And then it looks like his face has been, she said he looks, I forget the word she used, but she said as if someone had tried to erase his face.
Yeah.
Like he looked very blurry. And that's what I thought. So it's almost like, does he take this like form of a person and then after that person is dead, then he's going to like find a new person? I don't know.
It's so weird.
On that note, I do feel so bad for the kids because, like, dear God, I mean, poor thing is being tortured by this man. And he told her that he would never come back if she delivered this message to Ralph.
Well, she did. And actually, I liked how Ralph said to her, if he comes back, you tell him, you deliver the message. You need to get the heck out of here.
Exactly.
So I did like, they know how to talk to kids, those two. Him and his wife.
They
I like
do.
It.
They yeah, definitely.
I'm and into it.
It's so sad seeing him, like, he visits his son's grave at some point, and we still don't know anything about it, but that's where he's, or not much about it, I should say. Someone in the comments from last week did say that he mentioned at one point, I don't know how he missed this, but that he mentioned at one point his son's death kind of had something to do with his wife, so maybe she was not involved.
Well, I heard two things related to his death. I heard at one point in the first or second episode, the wife said something about cancer.
Okay.
And then in another instance, I heard something about murder. So I have cancer and murder that have come,
two
at least
very different
I've heard those things. I mean, you could have cancer and be murdered, so right. That's possible, but yeah, I feel like we just don't have don't have enough info right now.
No, but that's where he sees like the open graves of well, not the little boy that died first, the Patterson boy that Terry's accused of killing, is covered, but then there are multiple graves for his family to fill in.
That's so sad.
Which is insane. But that's kind of what I think gets his, like, wheels turning again. And this
like,
kind
I gotta
of,
solve this.
Exactly. Yeah. This kind of ultimately introduce is how we get to the character of private investigator Holly Gibney.
Hello!
Who I love!
Amazing.
Already.
Yep.
So they hire her basically to figure out why what happened. She's a private investigator.
But she's like a private investigator on steroids.
Yes.
And not on real steroids, but just on the fact that she's literally genius level in everything that she – her mind is genius level.
I've never – so I was telling Allison before we watched – I was like, it's crazy because at first I was like, do you just have a photographic memory, like ever, and like a hearing? Everything you see,
everything.
Hear, whatever,
yeah, everything.
You just know.
Yeah.
But when she's describing her personality, how I forget what she said, but she's like, I can tell you the exact day of what today, 6 years, is going to be. But like, crazy. If you ask me what today's date is, I have to look on a calendar. And that she was studied when she was a child because she was like,
genius.
People thought she had issues or whatever. She said she was like studied by the white coats, which I thought was kind of interesting. But basically, Ralph kind of gets together with Howie and Alec, and they're like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's hire this girl. She's the best that there is. So they send her to Dayton, which is where the family, of course, visited, and that's where that's where the van was. That's close to where his dad's nursing home was. And this is where things just
get real interesting.
Get very, very, very confusing. So once she finally decides to help, she goes to the nursing home where his dad was, obviously. And the receptionist seemingly, like, doesn't. She talks about, oh, you're a reporter. A detective showed up weeks ago or months ago. I forgot what she said.
Right.
And so did all these reporters.
Yep.
And she clearly does not know that Terry is dead. What were you thinking in this instance of, like, what could possibly be the explanation for that?
Okay, so on the Terry, on her not knowing about Terry being dead, I think Ralph kind of put that in the best light in the
small
sense
town.
Of it's a, yeah, it's a small town, and our town is not necessarily near there enough where perhaps, you know, you just wouldn't know that. The piece that I thought was real strange was the fact that there was so many other detectives there.
Right.
So that was the piece for me where I thought, okay, I need to know more about this.
Right.
And that was obviously a piece for her that I think we're going to definitely have some exploration on, because
right.
that obviously piqued her interest too. Like, what are these detectives doing there? What are they talking to this guy for?
Right.
And also, if all these detectives were there, wouldn't that person at the front desk question it and go, why are all these people here? Oh, Terry Maitland's dead.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's all kind of weird.
Well, we obviously find out that it has absolutely no connection to him whatsoever, why she's saying she's the reporter and whatever. But it's because she goes to this nursing home, obviously to speak to his dad, but they
right.
found out that his dad has recently been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So, like, that sucks. But she was also wanted to speak to the workers that were there
yeah.
that day.
Right.
Through digging, this is how the prison scene all throughout the episode is tied in.
Right.
She, you know, of course the receptionist kicks her out, but that's how she finds out. She goes back to look and she finds out that these two little girls were found murdered, sexually assaulted, basically right around the same time and kind of in the same way. You obviously don't see much about it. You just see a little snippet on the screen.
Right.
But in the same way, basically, that the boy was killed that Terry was accused of killing. So this all happened around the same time. And a worker at Terry's dad's nursing home that she was visiting is the one that was found and accused of killing these girls.
And sent to prison.
And this is the man that we're seeing in prison the whole time. So my thought right there is, could this be the man that he, like, bumped into? I mean, do you think it's connected, or do you think it's just, like, you know, maybe he was another victim? Obviously, we're going to talk about what happens to him, but, like,
I think it's premature right now.
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
But then that doesn't make sense in the sense of Terry never touched Jack, or, you know, there wasn't some, like, exchange on that front. And so if, like,
true.
If that nurse had to touch Terry to, like, become then afflicted, then we would then make the assumption that Terry would have needed to be there to touch Jack, and Terry, obviously, we know was dead.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It's very confusing, but it's too much of a coincidence that this worker who worked at the facility that Terry visited, like, accused of killing these girls in the exact same way, basically.
I think we need more info on this nurse, though, because, yeah, I don't know, just from my preliminary and very little info that I have on this guy,
yeah,
he just seemed innocent. Like, he didn't seem like a raging, angry, crazy, not to say that I have, like, you know, I'm not a
too
profiler
much experience.
Right, yeah, right. It's like, how do I, yeah, Allison the profiler over here, but he, I don't know, he didn't strike me as like, he seemed like wrong place, wrong time,
yeah,
wrong city, I don't know, so many things. So I think what I would need is all the, like, damning facts, yeah, that were brought against Terry,
yeah.
I need to see that against this guy,
right,
where, like, video of him in this particular, blah, 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 you know what I mean,
right.
And we don't have any of that yet,
but it's funny because, you know, call me April the profiler as well, because I automatically thought the same thing. I was like, this dude, there's something about him. And I think, like, obviously he's playing the character that way, like, where he clearly, just something about him makes him seem innocent,
yeah.
And he, even like when he gets the mail and it's like child killer,
right,
in a crazy picture, but I knew I knew something bad was gonna happen.
I knew
when
it,
he's
too,
like fashioning, oh, a shiv. Oh, but another very strange thing is how, obviously, you know, we even saw it in the first two episodes that people in jail do not take kindly to child killers.
Nope.
Specifically, like, the molestation stuff. So he's being threatened already. But this man digs a shiv out of his own leg. Was
Holy
I seeing that
cow.
Correctly or no?
Oh, yeah, you saw that correctly.
So uh-huh. the man digs a shiv out of, physically, surgically, has to cut his own leg. Gets a shiv out of his leg. So do you think that was legit? Like, had the man just put a shiv, or could he have been, like, possessed in some way?
Oh, no, I think he did that before he went to jail. And it was a plastic, knife or something.
Right, yeah.
So, because if you scan, you know, if you scan someone going into prison, it's not going to...
pick up.
Right. Yeah. I was grossed out. But
I mean, but, like, really, save that for somebody who's trying to hurt you, not, like, somebody who you don't even know did something.
You just have a thing against alleged child killers.
Well, as everyone should, I guess. But that was a very, for me anyway, difficult scene to watch at the end.
Oh,
when
it's
he comes
terrible.
Into his room and
oh,
he's
yeah.
like, you're not going to do this,
right.
And then cuts his own throat.
I was not expecting that.
Talking about the guy who we think is innocent, obviously.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And just, like, the blood on the wall, it was ridiculous. And he had done it by, like, literally the lens in his glass. Yeah, it was not fun to watch. But that's also maybe why we think, like, you just don't do something like that, or you don't go out in the way that he did. Like, a lot of, you know, it is kind of a, not kind of a thing. People, it's known that people in prison, you know, they sometimes kill themselves because they don't want to be in prison. Like,
right.
But you don't, they showed us the way that it happened for a reason, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say those things. You don't say, like, it's not going down this way. Like,
right?
I'm not going to let you do this.
Right.
And, you know, be essentially, I'm sure the guy would have just, like, tortured him, of course.
It would have been bad.
Yeah. So, like, you don't say that if you're guilty, I feel like. And that's what I'm just trying. That's the trouble that I'm coming up with. It's, like, how it's all connected. But I'm guessing,
I feel like Holly Gibney is going to reveal some stuff in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Holly Gibney is going to be right on it. What are we, before we get into our special segment and everything, what are we missing from the episode?
Oh.
I know one thing that I did want to mention. When they first meet Holly, because she requested to meet Ralph, obviously, we see, I thought it was so interesting how she's telling the stories of what she thinks that this could be. Like, when she's saying, I think, basically about Terry, like, it seems like Terry could, you know, have some sort of doppelganger.
Yeah, and that was really interesting. I mean, at this point, that is a legitimate, that's a legitimate proposition, because we see someone that looks exactly like Terry on video at the same time that Terry is in a totally other town.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, what she was saying was, it's not conventional,
right,
but it's clearly not impossible at this point. I mean, there's some other things at work here.
And the fact that, like, I thought it was really interesting. Of course, she just knows this kind of crap. But she says, like, what this means. And that's where the name of the episode, Dark Uncle, comes from. Because I think, like, in Swiss, it means Dark Uncle, doppelganger. But
I liked how she knew all, like, she was listing off all the different words for doppelganger in every language.
Right. Amazing. I think what's so important about that is that in all of these different cultures and countries, they all have something like this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This can't just come from nowhere.
No, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's got to be a reason
it's
for
a thing.
It. So we obviously know that some sort of dark force is at work. Mm-hmm. We didn't... Yeah, I think doppelganger was one of our guests last week, but, like, I literally meant, like... She explains it in a very different way. Like, it literally is a force, but basically just exactly like you. It's not a twin. It's not whatever, but it is, like, you, but not mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we missed before we go into our special segment?
I don't know. This whole show is, like, making me – my brain is, like, mushy from all the stuff that's flying at us.
I know. Think about y'all – think about your predictions while we're doing this as well. And let us know in chat what y'all's predictions are as well. Allison's going to do our special segment for us.
Yeah. Do I have, like, music for a special segment?
Or we're just like,
oh, good.
We'll just do that.
Oh, that's good. Oh, wow. Okay, so we did not do this last week, but our special segment we're calling Hindsight. And basically what we want to accomplish with this special segment is, what in the episode is, like, the thing where you go, why did you do that?
Right.
You know?
You would have done it different in hindsight.
Why did you do that? Like, so for instance, last week, my... my hindsight was that they definitely should have taken Terry Maitland through, like, a back entrance. Why would they publicly parade him into the courthouse,
right,
given the fact that there were so many people in that crowd that knew, you know, that were assuming he was guilty? I mean, it was just bad, 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 right? Had they had done that, hindsight, he would have been still alive and with us.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, the story is taking us in a certain direction, so... say lovey.
Yes.
So this week, hindsight. Why did Jack go into the dark barn alone by himself with only a flashlight? I mean, clearly everything was cleaned up. There was nothing there for him to see at this point.
Literally.
What else is he going to discover that all the cops who have, like, scraped the whole place with, like, full lights on, all the different gear? I don't know. That whole thing was just, I was thinking... oh,
it's
my
ridiculous.
God. Hindsight. Don't do that.
The point of him going was so that he could basically, like, be the face for their department.
Yeah, way late. No.
But he's stopped by a strip club and did all this other stuff. So, like, no, you also, like, with the good sense that a detective should have, he should have known, you don't go in there.
No.
But guess what? Now he has some weird crap on his neck, and if he had hindsight, he would probably wouldn't have gone in.
Oh, yeah. So that's that.
Love it.
Yeah. And then we have a little bit of news.
Yeah, we got some news for y'all as well.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yeah. So our girl, Holly Gibney, Cynthia Erivo, she graced us with her beautiful presence at the SAG Awards last night.
Looking fabulous.
Looking so... oh, my gosh. I just love it. And actually, I loved it even more. Okay, call me kind of lame-os or something. I didn't really know she was British.
I said I didn't either. So, you know. But that's what happens when an actor or an actress is so good.
She
like,
is
you have
so
no
good.
Idea.
She is so good. Anyway, yeah. So... she was one of the people that was part of the open for the SAG. So the SAG Awards, they usually call out some actors at the very beginning. Christina Applegate was included this year. Cynthia Erivo was included this year. Mm-hmm. And Eugene Levy was also included sort of, you know, say why they're an actor. So, you know, Cynthia Erivo and I'm an actor.
She's on all the best dress lists.
But she looked fabulous and I loved seeing her. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's on my new show.
Yes.
So it was great to see her. And we're excited to see how her character unfolds for us.
Loving her already, for sure. Okay, let's do some predictions.
Oh, gosh.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yeah, how do I predict this? Okay, so the whole Jack thing, I'm really hoping that someone sees this neck thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Ralph does. Someone. Like,
right.
I'm hope, you know, someone in the police office.
Right.
The station.
Whatever, yeah.
Wow, I'm like, my lingo is so lackluster. Yeah, and just, you know, let's talk about this.
Right, exactly.
What the heck happened? He has not reported this to anybody, so I'm hoping that that happens, and then that kind of causes some kind of a domino effect for us to identify more things.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I'm also really excited to see what Holly uncovers, because I think that that's going to be another major domino effect. I think she's going to... really. And then I'm just wondering if that is going to start happening to Ralph.
Well, it seems like it, according to what the little girl said.
I know.
Which is one of my predictions. I think that the hooded figure, whatever man, is still going to visit the kid. Because we talked about it a little last week. A lot of times, kids are the people that can see those figures in movies and in stories. And even stuff that you, like, listen to and, you know, read in real life.
Right.
They say it's, like, a child thing because their brain, like, can believe that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to, I don't think it's going to change. I think he will still visit the girl because they have to keep the, you know, these characters, the Maitland family, they're in every episode, according to IMDb. So they have to stay relevant somehow. So I think that could be how they do. I also think that the man in prison that just killed himself, once Holly discovers this and once we kind of, you know, maybe, I guess, I don't know, I guess they're not going to do an autopsy. He's in prison. He's slow as
well. I don't know.
But I'm like, I feel like if they could do tests on him,
yeah,
maybe they could figure out something in the blood or what. Maybe he was in the exact position that Terry Maitland was in. Maybe it was like it just happened to him first.
Right.
And I don't know.
Okay. And then the other part that I'm wondering is if Jessa keeps seeing Hooded Man.
Yeah.
My thought is, if she's seeing Jack if she's seeing Jack's doppelganger or something,
yeah,
I'm wondering if just her being with her mom out and about in town and then sees him somehow and goes, Mom, that's the man who's been visiting me or something.
Ooh, yeah.
To kind of connect those dots. Then obviously she'll call Ralph and be like, my daughter just said this guy's. So maybe that's going to happen.
Dang, that was a good one.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I like it a lot.
Okay.
Well, that is our predictions and our show for the night. So much.
Oh, wait. Everyone about our talk time.
Absolutely. So the show obviously airs on Sundays, but we are now going to be covering it on Monday nights. Tonight was a special night, but we are going to be hitting y'all live at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Starting now every Monday, that's when we'll be covering the show. But we'll make sure, of course, to tweet out links, put it on our Instagram and all kind of stuff. So make sure you're following us in order to get those. Yeah, so Monday nights at 10 p.m.
Lots to happen. Lots to come.
Yeah. Thank y'all so much for joining us, everyone in chat. Shout out to y'all, obviously, Ryan B. Jeff Fulton, the Jack character, is a complete idiot.
He is.
I concur. Yeah,
we agree with you.
Yes. But thank y'all so much for watching with us. In the meantime, you can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. Where can they find you?
You can find me at The Allison Dean.
Be sure to like, comment, give us 5 stars. Let us know what you thought because we want to continue the conversation with y'all. But we will see y'all next week.
Yeah. Yeah! Thank you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.